This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls. K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you this morning?
I would say for the most part, quite better than yesterday. As far as the commute is concerned, we don't have the rain here this morning. Everything's smooth sailing. Of course, it's dark out, but that's to be expected. Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, I was checking, I didn't watch the whole thing. Well, actually I kind of did. The link that you had sent, I had listened to some of the code there at first, and that's when I noticed the 3D printed key. And I'm trying to pick out the letters, and I got a handful of them, but I didn't sit down and try to decode the whole message. I like that. I like that format. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to subscribe to. And speaking of which, when I clicked on it, it said I was already subscribed. So I must have come upon them before, but didn't follow up with them on a regular basis. I've got quite a few things that I subscribe to, but, you know, don't see what the daily postings are. How's your day looking?
Day's going to be, well, the afternoon will be pretty busy. I've got to take my Ford in to have it undercoated at Carwell at noon. My sister's coming up from Olean to see her financial advisor, so we're going to go for a late lunch before she goes to see him. Then tonight's my pistol league. So, kind of busy afternoon.
Oh, it sure sounds like it. I don't know if her financial advisor visit will be better or worse than Lynn's insurance advisor visit from the other day. We met on Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. But a lot of things have even changed since then, so there's been a lot of back and forth, so something needs to be worked out. Anyway, I heard from Larry McGuire yesterday. He is looking to come back to work this week. I think he's supposed to be stopping in work to go over paperwork and finalize dates and whatnot. So he's made it through his recovery period, and looks like he's supposed to be cleared to come back to work.
That's good. That's good. I mean, that's quite a scare. I'm glad he's able to come back to work. That's cool. How's his studies for his technician exam coming?
Well, he was saying that he's been studying, doing reading, going through the questions. I think he's, what's the word I'm looking for? Overwhelmed. I think that's the impression that I've gotten from him the last two times, that there is a lot of rules and regulations, and I think it's a common theme that if you're into electronics or into CB radio, which he is both, that you go into it with this thinking that the test is going to be a breeze. But if you're not actively working around FCC rules and regulations and have it ingrained, it's a lot to memorize. And I think that's what he's struggling with, but is trying to commit to memory now, all that new stuff.
Yeah, I can understand that. Going through the general exam, there's some new FCC regulations, obviously, because of, you know, the HF stuff. I kind of struggling with some of the propagation stuff. I did take a practice exam last night, and I did miss 7, and I think you can only miss 6. But compared to some of the other tests that I've taken, I'm starting to feel a lot more confident. And then I heard on the info, on the W2SO InfoNet last night, that they're offering an exam November 26th, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I put it into my calendar, but I don't think I'm going to make that one. I'm pretty sure my son will be home that day, and trying to get last-minute things ready for Thanksgiving, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's really no point in trying to rush it unless you feel you're completely confident, let alone step away from any family activities to get that test in. There will be other tests, and if you can go online and you'll find that the test is being offered at other clubs too. I'm sure Stars is doing something, ARATS is doing something, Bear is probably doing something. There are plenty of other clubs in the area if Lancaster's timing didn't work out for you. I know this one's conveniently located, but there are other options. I know even when Ross got his, I believe I went out with him to ARATS. And, a friend of mine, Tom, who I don't hear on the radio much anymore, he did his at ARATS as well. Yeah.
Where is ARATS?
I believe it's Amateur Radio Association of the Tonawandas or something like that. So, yeah, obviously Tonawanda.
That's not that far out of the way. Yeah, I'll have to search for some other clubs in the next few days and see what they've got scheduled.
Yeah, again, it comes down to when you feel that you're ready. If it coincides with the tests here in Lancaster, so be it. If you see something else local, well, that's cool. Even some of the HamFest will also do an exam session during the HamFest. That's an option too. So, yeah, I wouldn't confine or restrict yourself to getting into their test sessions. Though there is a comfort level there that, because you've been there before. As always, I'll pause a second to see if anyone else is in here. This is K2PCB.
K2NVM, good morning, gentlemen.
KC2PT, good morning, all.
Well, the gang's all here. Now, if we had Mark Foley stop in, and then we'd have a full license gang here, getting Jose and Larry in there. Holy cow, then we're really going to have to mind how long we keep the mic key down. All right, you were the first one to hop in. Good morning there, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody. What's going on? I wish you were looking to get Jose licensed up. Is there another test coming up, or is he not studying anymore?
As much as I would love to see him get licensed, I think the first experience was a little, I'll say, crushing for him. And I don't know how much his heart's really in it. So I haven't been pushing. You might know better than I, Jeff, if he's continuing his studies.
I can press him without pressing him. And we'll investigate a little bit. Other than that, not much going on here. Anyway, I turn it over to B-Rad or Ross.
Good morning again, everybody. Travis, you mentioned Foley. It seems like he seemed to drop off the radio radar. Is he just so busy in the morning with his animals that he doesn't have time to get on?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's one of those people where he's in here, then he's gone. I'll text him for a little bit, then he's gone. And definitely his family and his, I'll say, homestead come first. So, I don't know what his activity is first. how he prioritizes his radio activities. I know he was big into GMRS. I should ping him one of these days and see what's happening. I always say, or said it a few times at least, you know, it'd be nice to have some kind of periodic, not a net, but just a round table in here with without a time constraint. You know, we're all on our drive-in, and it's hard to have any, longer conversations. You know, doing it like, every so many weeks or whatever on an evening would be kind of cool, especially if we got some of those other people in here. Anyway, I guess that's about all I know. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. So like kind of like a pre-Christmas thing or something, just to catch up with everybody some evening. That'd be kind of cool. But, yeah, I understand. I know he's busy and, obviously chores take first. So I'll turn over to Brad. Go ahead, Brad. Pick it up.
Good morning, Ross. Good morning, Jeff. I saw Jose on Sunday, and I was going to bring up the, see how his studies was going, but I didn't. I'll probably ask him tonight at Pistol and see what his feelings are.
Yeah, hopefully. I know he was kind of down the last time he took his test. It's kind of a bummer. I don't like to see people do that when they fail that test. It's never a good feeling, I'm sure. But I know everybody would succeed. But it's been nice. I know Jeff will work on it with him.
I'm with Travis. I don't want to press him too hard if his heart's not really in it. It's something he was just doing just to be part of something, or was he really? Did he really want to be into ham radio?
Yeah, I guess like I said, just see how it plays out with him. I'll let him go at his own pace. I don't really push him if he doesn't want to. But I'll turn back over to Jeff. Take it, Jeff.
Yeah, I haven't even been impressing Zoe. She has the book. I don't know if and when she reads it, but last thing I want to do is force her into it. But she does know the understanding that if and when she does pass, I'll buy her own radio. So hopefully we can get some new hams soon.
Yeah, thinking about that husband and wife team that likes to promote CW that Brad shared, and then me encountering the husband and wife team, well, at least the wife of the husband and wife team, that does all the POTA activations in the area. I was hoping that I would have been able to participate in the Erie Canal Heritage event that happened this month, earlier this month, but that didn't happen. But that is something I'm looking forward to doing this coming year, is to streamline my portable HF equipment that we use for field day, maybe test out some of these antennas, maybe have some antennas that are easier to put up, maybe that don't require trees and all these wires, just to make them more portable, user-friendly, and take part in some of these events. Maybe when it gets nice in the spring, we can go activate some park somewhere for a POTA activation, or I know there's Winter Field Day. I don't know how much we like the idea of being outside in the winter. But yeah, I was even looking at portable rack boxes on lunch yesterday, and I see some stuff show up on Facebook Marketplace once in a while, and looking at some enclosures that can be repurposed. It'd be nice if I had everything in these rugged grab-and-go containers, just set them up on the bench and hook up power, hook up an antenna, and go. So yeah, that's what I've been thinking about a little bit lately, with the hopes of having maybe a couple of nice setups that can be deployed next year, next spring.
That'd be nice, and Jeff could try out his new rig, hopefully. I'd be interested to see how that rig runs. Travis, you got all the good antennas and everything, so that'd be interesting. Do a photo activation. Never done one. Be interesting.
Well, with all my school studies, studying for general has been difficult. I kind of put it on hold just because networking sucks. So we'll have to wait and see how the Gazer, the side view, works out.
Actually, used a Pelican case to make a portable unit. I'll have to see if I can find that article online and send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, Brad. That'd be a neat little write-up to see if you could see what that kind of equipment they use. I know somebody else doubled in with it, whoever it was, glad.
Be a problem if I can't fit everything in there. But essentially, I need the power, the radio, the tuner, and the power supply. But some of these, the 2U1s with the access panel to the front and the back, so you just throw the latches on the front and back and hook up your cables, you expose your all your controls, and you're ready to play. I wonder, do they make any Pelican cases that have front access rather than top-down access? Yeah, I might have to look into that.
I'll let Jeff take it over. You guys are probably about ready to go in anyway. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just pulled in. I'm about to take my last sip of coffee and go to work. All right, so 73, see y'all on the inside. KT2NVM.
And I'm in that same situation. 644, this is K2PCB. Talk to you guys soon.
Yep, I'll see you guys at work. Well, good morning to you again, Brad. For our second half, a little ride in. Did you get your Christmas list yet?
Hey, good morning again, Ross. No, I haven't. It's so overwhelming sometimes, do I buy just an HF radio or do I buy a tri-band? Then it's, potentially a power supply. I've seen some things advertised on the W2SO email chain, their bulletin board, so to speak. Looks enticing, but I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, I don't. I'm actually going to do myself a favor this year and after Halloween, I'm going to start Christmas shopping. Just so I get done early and not be one of those last-minute shoppers for my daughter and my wife. I'm going to get my wife actually something special this year. I'm just kind of toying around to what it is. I haven't thought of it yet. My wife does a lot with her this year, so I'm going to get her something that me and my daughter, can give to her. It's that kind of special.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm trying to think of, different things for my grandkids to see. I'd like to start making some stuff out of wood for them that they can, that they'll hopefully cherish, but probably not this Christmas.
Yeah, I usually get her a gift card to, the spa. She likes that spa in Williamsville on Main Street, Exteria. She loves going there. She likes getting the spas and stuff, but I just about get that every other year. I know it's getting to be an old gift. I mean, she'll turn it away, but I don't know. I just like to get her something a little different, I think, other than the same old thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. For years, I used to buy Karen a gift card to one of the clothing stores. And she'd always go buy stuff. But then it was like, well, how many more clothes do you really need? And so then I started trying to think of things that are more personal or consumable. That's one of the things that we're at right now is buying consumables, you know, different types of coffee, or Trav buys me stuff to clean my guns with, something that I'm going to use, and, you know, it's not going to just be sitting on the shelf for, you know, till I die and they have to get rid of it.
Yeah, I thought about the food grout too, but same thing. I want something that's going to last for a while. Yeah, what that is, like I said, I've drawn blanks. So every once in a while, I'll just Google Mother's Christmas gifts or something like that on Google. It comes up a whole list, and then sometimes that list is so overwhelming, it's like, all right, this didn't help me out at all.
Yeah, I agree. That can be very overwhelming, and it doesn't seem to help. Gifts are tough for me to buy.
Now, my daughter, on the other hand, that's easy. They give her the Amazon book. Of course, she doesn't help. They give the kids the Amazon book, and they're supposed to circle what they want. Well, of course, the kid circles everything, pretty much. Maybe one or two little things that's, like, not very popular or close. They don't circle the clothes, obviously. But everything else, yes, they circle on that book.
Yeah, I think my daughter got one in the mail, and the youngest one, Theodore, yeah. Here, I want this, yeah. Yeah, pretty much circles everything.
And then you gotta go back to him and says, okay, now what do you really want? That's what I tell Evelyn. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know this is all great and all, but what is your favorite one? And then you gotta give him a number. Like, you can choose from, like, six. Choose, like, six things that you really, really, really want.
Yes. When we took the grandkids to Walmart to buy a toy, first thing, oh, I want this. And then I said, no, let's look around. And then I said, okay, here, you can get from this shelf, you know, so that was at my price range. And once I confined it to a smaller section, then it was easier for them to pick out something that they wanted.
Yeah, if I ever wanted something, actually back then the internet wasn't really a thing yet. When I was younger, I always had my mom always took us to the store. That's how she did her shopping kind of. She's like, oh, you want this? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So, and then, of course, I would start with the old waterworks. I'm like, well, I want to play with it now. They're like, no, you got to wait till Christmas. I'm like, is it pick up my mom for that? I'm like, that's not Christmas shopping. I'm like, it's supposed to be a surprise. That's how she did it.
Yeah, I remember playing with the Sears catalog, going through and looking at that. I think that's how we used to do it. Obviously there were certain clothing items that we got every year. I'm trying to think how we used to do it with the kids. Karen's really good at picking out gifts for the kids. Always has been.
Well, my daughter's easy. I've seen anything Barbie. You pick out Barbie, anything Barbie, she'll be happy with. Well, that's the nice part about it. Like I said, my wife, not so much. I don't know if you remember, I'm really dating myself. I remember looking in the, remember the store Gold Circle? I used to look through that catalog when they were around. I really date myself now. It's going way back.
I do remember Gold Circle. I do. That's vague memories there.
That kind of was the start of my whole scanner career. I think I was probably 13. And they had scanners, radio scanners. And I always told my parents I wanted one. Of course, they'd never get it. And then my dad was in the scanners too, but I'm surprised he didn't know. I think his zero is what to buy, what kind to buy, and how to put an antenna and stuff up. He didn't know any of that stuff, so I knew, of course. I told him, just give me the radio. And at the end, ended up settling and giving me a Radio Shack scanner, so that was fine. Yeah, so I had my first Radio Shack, was my first scanner was Radio Shack. Don't remember model number offhand, but I have to do some Google searches.
Yeah, because I ended up getting a base CD station. I was early teens, because I'd been playing with some walkie-talkies, and I was close to Route, I think at the time they called it Route 17, it's Route 86 now, where I could hear some of the truckers, because obviously at that time they all used CVs. And then that's where I kind of got started in the radio. And then when I discovered girls, I kind of gave it up.
Yeah, I actually started TV too. Happened to be at the same time my uncle passed away. And he had several. I mean, he had, he worked for the state, so he used to pave the roads. And he used to see stuff over, and I'd go, you know, what's that over there? He'd go pick it up. It'd be like an antenna fell off the truck, a TV antenna. So he had, I bet you I had at least have 50, if not more, CV antennas that he picked up. And then the radios, I didn't know where he gets those from. He had like another 6 mobile CV radios. He used to pick all those, you know, he had so much. And then I set that up at our house. And that's kind of the start of my whole radio career. And he hooked all that up. And we hooked up, and my dad was liking it because all the truckers used to be afraid of going under the bridge in Alden because it was marked, I think, 13-6, which is considered low for truckers. My dad used to call him on the radio. He says, hey, I put that in for myself. He used to talk to the truckers and go, he used to say, hey, yeah, if you can make that bridge, you know, you're no problem. So I think my dad actually used it more than I did.
That's interesting. That's the one on Broadway, right? The one you were talking about, I could see where some truckers could lose some antennas there. And it makes you wonder how the other ones just fell off. Did they just get loose? And that's how your uncle was finding them?
Yeah, I think that's how it happened. I think they would just wobble loose and they'd turn themselves out and they'd fall off the truck. So, but I got to get going, Brad. It's my time. 673 to you. I hope we can pick this up tomorrow. And you have a good day.
KD2GDQ, this is KD2GDQ. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And we're clear of the station.